Hare Krishna. I wish to extend my sincere gratitude to each and every one of you for being here for our yatra in Vrindavan and for being with us this evening. This afternoon, we celebrated Anakuta, where devotees from all various social roles, various different religious backgrounds, different races from all parts of the world, had the opportunity to prepare bhoga, or food for Krishna. Although I had to unexpectedly go for a very important event, I came back just in time to walk through the kitchen. Kitchen is a field where little clay and brick stoves, I believe about 200, were set up in rows, each one equipped with some cow dung and a little wood and some little clay pots to cook on, some big ones too. And perhaps 1,000 people in different shifts were sitting in the dust of Braj Bhumi cooking. And I saw people from very aristocratic, wealthy social status breaking cow dung patties and handing it over to little villagers and farmers, cooking together around the same pot. PhDs from IIT and other such universities were with people who really don't have much education at all. We're cutting the vegetables together, rolling the pastries together, cleaning the pots together. In devotion, when we are identifying ourselves in our eternal nature, Jivara Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that we're eternal servants of Krishna. And we see that every living being is an eternal servant of Krishna. In this material world, people are in various levels of remembrance of that truth. But as devotees, on whatever level we may be in, we learn to really truly appreciate anyone's efforts to make honest and sincere efforts for the pleasure of the Lord. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna is pleased by our devotion. If we offer a little leaf or flower or fruit or water with such sincere devotion, Krishna is pleased to accept it. Just as in kirtan, whoever we are, if we're sincere to take shelter of the holy names as we're chanting and dancing, to the degree we actually are in the consciousness of kirtan, then we are above all of the egoistic ways in which we analyze each other. Material world, the material consciousness is we want to put ourselves in the center because we're so far from Krishna. We're under the illusion that satisfying my own body, mind, and ego will be a source of happiness. And in this state, we're even willing to make so many offenses to others, because ultimately we don't care. It's just about I and mine. But kirtan is when we put our whole consciousness in Krishna. Hare Krishna, Radha Govinda Dev. And in that state, with Krishna in the center, then we can appreciate our relationships with each other. And in a similar way, just as when there's 5,000 people in a kirtan or 3 people in a kirtan, we have a chance to rise above the external conceptions of ego. So when we are all cooking together, so many people were crying. Almost everyone I saw in that kitchen was crying because of the smoke in their eyes. But actually, they were willing to endure the smoke in their eyes for a higher purpose, to make an offering of love to Krishna. And it was truly a blissful environment. The same way people have cooked in Vrindavan for centuries and centuries. A timeless lack of modern technology. And ultimately, all the preparations were brought together. I was told it was 1,300 preparations, approximately. Just made in a little field near Govardhan Hill. And believe it or not, to organize that type of simple village cooking is practically as difficult as managing an international corporation. But for devotees, it's very wonderful because they're not getting any money. They're just pleasing other devotees by giving them an opportunity to find happiness in serving together. When Krishna inaugurated this Anakut, There were massive mountains of boga. And Sri Giriraj, with his very long hands, he picked up everything. And right in front of everyone's eyes, he ate it. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, he also reciprocated with his devotees in a similar way. The essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Ras Leela of Sri Krishna, the culmination of pure unalloyed devotion. Unless one is completely transcendental to even the slightest trace of egoism, desire for profit, adoration, distinction, or any type of sensual gratification, one cannot really appreciate the Rasa Leela. The gopis were considered, even by the greatest renunciates like Shukadev Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupan Sanatan, as the most detached, pure-hearted, and surrendered of all devotees. In the highest perfection of love. And the Ras Leela is the reciprocation of that love between Lord Sri Krishna and each of his devotees. And the glories of Sri Radha revealed there. Our acharyas tell us that same Rasa Leela was reenacted every night for 1 year in the house of Srivas during Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented the topmost limits of Krishna consciousness and Krishna Leela in a way that was most understandable and accessible to the people of this age of Kali. In Ras Leela, Krishna was the Purusha and everyone was gopis. When Lord Shiva wanted to participate, he had to accept a gopi form. When Narada Muni wanted to participate in the Rasa Leela on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, he performed tapasya at Narada Kund, just on the Govardhan Parikrama. Brinda Devi, the goddess of Vrindavan, Lord Shiva humbled himself to her and expressed his desire. By Brinda Devi's mercy, she taught Lord Shiva how to actually be in the mood of this complete self-sacrifice of gopis. And she took him to Kusum Sarovar. And with her blessings, he went underwater in Kusum Sarovar and came out Naradi Gopi in a female form. where he could participate in being the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis at Sri Radha Kund. That same Narada Muni, of course, a little later after the Ras Leela, Vrinda Devi put him back in Kusum Sarovar, and he came out as Narada Muni. And it was there at Narada Kund that he compiled, or he wrote, the Narada Bhakti Sutras. It is that Narada Muni who became Srivas, at whose house the Ras Leela was being performed in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leelas. Radha Bhava, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna experiencing the love of Sri Radha. Gadadhar Pandit and Srimati Radharani. Vrinda Devi is Mukunda Sarakar. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he was a medical doctor. Hanuman. In Lord Chaitanya's Leela, even Hanuman entered Ras Leela as Murari Gupta. Adwaitacharya is Sadashiva and Mahavishnu. Nityananda Prabhu is Sri Balaram. So they are all males and they're dancing together. But internally, the ecstasies of Vrindavan are manifesting within them. Today in this world, to be a sahajya, or to take things cheaply, to try to think that we can really enter into very high levels of ecstatic ras, when we still have egos and desires for gratifications. It's very common. Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas sometimes defined parakrita sahajya as taking things cheaply. And that's such a tendency in practically everyone in this world, to take things cheaply. We want things quick. We want things fast. We don't want to pay price. We want to think ourselves something we're not, without really developing the qualifications to receive it. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he performed the Rasa Leela. He revealed Krishna's most intimate pastimes in ways where the supreme esteem of the sanctity and the purity of Krishna's Leela was truly honored. And he taught us to do the same. They would dance and chant, and the inner rasas of Braja within their hearts were manifesting. Torrents of tears of love as these devotees were all singing and dancing together. And just as Sukadev Goswami tells that in Krishna's Sarat Purnima Ras Leela, although it was just one night, Krishna actually manifested an entire day of Brahma. For the gopis and Krishna to dance together. And similarly, the nights during that 1 year of the kirtans at Srivas, it is described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made those kirtans one yuga in length. One night, because Lord Chaitanya was always in the mood of a devotee. He was not in the mood of the enjoyer, Krishna. He was in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Because he was teaching us. But in the house of Srivas, only the most pure, exalted, self-realized souls were given entrance. Because the ecstasies of love that were manifesting from their hearts were not understandable to ordinary people. But one night, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he really wanted to fulfill all the desires of the devotees. To everyone's great surprise, he sat on the throne of Vishnu, the altar. And the devotees were looking upon him with such joy, such expectation. He said, sing the song that is offered with the Abhishek. So they understood exactly what he was saying. And if you remember, we were describing a few days ago how Indra and all the devas, they all came together to perform Abhishek for Krishna at Govinda Kund. But the Panchagavya, the five gifts of Mother Cow, and the Panchamrita, the five nectars, and hundreds of pots of water from Govinda Kund. So that same pastime was offered for Lord Chaitanya as he was sitting, accepting the worship, manifesting himself as Krishna. And they brought tens and thousands of pots of water from Mother Ganga, and they bathed him in the Panchagavya and the Panchamrita. They were singing and they were dancing. Then they dressed him nicely. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed something like the Anakuta. He was just sitting there and he said, please offer me food. So someone gave him some bananas, and then some coconuts, and then some fruits. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, within a blink of the eye, he ate more than what hundreds of people could eat. And just as Giriraj, after the Brijavasis offered him several miles of distance of huge mountains, after he ate it all, he cried out, Aniyor, give me more. So they tried to give him as much, whatever they gave, he said, give me more, Aniyor. So after they gave Lord Chaitanya everything, he said, give me more. So the devotees ran outside and went to from village to village to shop and bought everything. And they came back and offered him at a time thousands of bananas and thousands of coconuts and thousands of fruits and tens and thousands of buckets of milk and yogurt, dahi. And they were bringing thousands of sandeshes and rasgullas and all of these different preparations. And within a second, he ate them and said, bring me more. The devotee said, my Lord, your belly contains all the universes. How could we ever fill you up? But how much they were in happiness together, all together. They were just bringing more and more food and preparing more and more food and offering it to the Lord. And he just ate it all immediately. What hundreds and thousands of people cannot eat. And he didn't get indigestion because he was manifesting his opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just as Giriraj, during the Govardhan Leela, he offered everyone any benediction they liked and fulfilled it. And then under the hill, Sri Giridhari completely fulfilled every single devotee's most intimate desires. Whether they were a flower, or a deer, or a bird, or a buffalo, or a goat, or a cow, or an old Brahmin, or old or young Gopa or Gopi, everyone's desires were completely fulfilled. Well, during this Mahaprakash Leela, which went on continuously for 21 hours, Lord Chaitanya was fulfilling each and every one of his devotees' innermost desires. Murari Gupta, who is Hanumanji, Lord Chaitanya called him and was glorifying Murari Gupta with such love. He said, Murari, do you not remember who I am and who you are? And suddenly, Murari Gupta saw his beloved Lord Ram. And next to Ram was Sita and Lakshman. And he saw so many other monkey soldiers around Ram offering obeisances. And Murari Gupta happened to look down and he saw that he had a tail. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am your beloved Lord Ram and you are Hanuman. And Murari fell unconscious in ecstasy of love. Don't, here is Sita. You cried a shoreless ocean of tears seeing her plight in Sri Lanka. And here is Lakshman. You carried an entire mountain over a distance of 1,000 miles to protect him. You are my eternal servant. The Lord asked him, please ask for any benediction. Murari Gupta, Hanuman, To understand what devotees value is to truly understand what it means to be a devotee. He said, I just want to remember you. I don't want to ask anything from you. But if I must ask something, that in every birth I may take in this world, I could be in the association of your devotees. Let me be among those devotees who consider you their master and themselves as a servant. Let me forever chant your holy names in the company of such devotees as the servant of your servants. He's not asking, I want to become God. I want supernatural powers. I want liberation. Because for one who has actually tasted bhakti, all of these things are insignificant. To value the association of devotees, to value chanting God's names in that association and remembering the Lord, is the true desire of those who have tasted the highest limits of love. Lord Chaitanya turned to Advaitacharya. He said, I appeared in this world because of you. You fasted and you prayed for so long out of compassion for all beings. And by your compassion to every living being, I came to the world to deliver them. But you've never asked anything for yourself. Ask for a benediction. Advaitacharya, he identified himself as someone who was very wretched and very sinful. Let me remember you and serve you. And if you want a benediction, if you want to give me a benediction, then please deliver all these fools and rascals within this world. The Lord called upon Haridas Thakur. And as he was sitting on his seat, on the altar, he manifested his opulences in the form of Krishna to Haridas. And such a beautiful exchange. Lord Chaitanya was glorifying Haridas as if he had thousands of mouths. In his glorification of Haridas, Vrindavan Das Thakur tells that there's no limits to the happiness that Lord Chaitanya experiences when he speaks the qualities of his devotees. And how dear every one of us is to the Lord when he hears us speaking the qualities of his devotees. Vrindavan Das Thakur, the Vedavyas of Mahaprabhu's Leela. He says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is willing to swallow mass fire for the pleasure of his devotees. He considers everything within the universe to have no value compared to a single devotee. And Haridas Tagore, there's no record that he ever went to school. He was an outcast by social standards, considered untouchable by orthodoxy. But Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, although practically everywhere Thakur Haridas went, he was persecuted, he was condemned, he was criticized. So many references are given of how he was tried. They tried to imprison him, they tried to kill him. But he was everyone's well-wisher. During Mahaprakash, Lord Chaitanya said, "Do you remember, Haridas, before I even descended into this world, you were being beaten to death by those executioners? At that time, from Vaikuntha, with my Sudarshan Chakra, I decided to come and kill those people. But you were praying sincerely from your heart, 'My Lord, please forgive them. Give them your mercy.' If I've ever pleased you with my chanting of the holy names, then let all those credits be exchanged for forgiving these men. They shouldn't suffer because of me." Lord Chaitanya said, "Your prayer for forgiveness was so powerful that my chakra, it couldn't function." Durvasa Muni, he had all eight mystic cities in great proportions. He was such a vairagi, so renounced from everything of this world. But he couldn't escape from that chakra. But the chakra was defeated by Haridas Thakur's humble prayer of forgiveness. So the Lord said, "I had to come down and cover your body with mine to protect you." And then the Lord showed him the bruises and the scars that were meant for Haridas on his own body. Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas, "Ask for any benediction. I want to fulfill your every desire." Each and every one of these devotees, their benediction was really an essence to truly be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Haridas said, "Let me always be with your devotees as their servant. In every birth I may take, let me get the food remnants of your devotee. After your devotee eats and they throw out the remnants, give me the blessing that I could be a dog living close by so I could eat those remnants and honor your devotees." If Krishna were to come before you and ask you any benediction you like, could you ask for that? But he was serious. That's That's how much he valued those who love Krishna, those who are trying to love Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya was revealing to him what pleases him. Lord Chaitanya was so moved. He said, I give the benediction to you because you're so kind, you're so compassionate. You want to deliver everyone that whoever for all time to come has faith in you and remembers you in faith, they will attain me. For Mukunda Dutt, Lord Chaitanya, he asked him to take a benediction, but all he could do is express his humility with beautiful prayers. And Lord Chaitanya said, forever, you will give joy to the hearts of the devotees whenever you chant the holy names. Mahaprakash was like Govardhan Leela. Krishna was reciprocating intimately and offering the sweetest benedictions to each and every one of his devotees. And in doing so, he taught us what we should truly aspire for. Today, I believe it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, a very dear devotee departed from this world. Those of you who reside in India, you may know him very dearly. And others may have heard about him. Gaur Krishna Goswami Maharaj. He's a grand disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A very dearmost disciple of His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj. Gaur Krishna Prabhu he accepted Srila Prabhupada and his guru as his life and soul. And Radha Govinda Maharaj traveled from village to village. This is many years ago. He would just go one little village in Bihar to another and have kirtan and Bhagavad Katha. Gaur Krishna Maharaj, who was brahmachari at the time, was just helping him with the organization, going ahead to the villages and making the arrangements and getting the venue. He was just doing the very physical, material organization for his guru to come and speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. But by hearing from his guru, he got such a higher taste. And even though he didn't ask, his guru Maharaj told him, now you should speak from Srimad Bhagavatam. And he went so deeply into Srimad Bhagavatam. But please understand that his qualification wasn't just being a scholar, wasn't prophet adoration distinction, which is often motivations even for devotees. He didn't want followers. He was just doing very menial service. For years, And then he was blessed to speak from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he loved the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave such beautiful narrations in the Hindi language. This morning I went to offer my respects, my love, my gratitude, my heart to such a Vaishnava. And I drove in the car with His Grace Radhe Shyam Prabhu and Shyamananda Prabhu. And the whole time we were driving, Radhe Shyam Prabhu was speaking to me about Gaur Krishna Maharaj, because they were very close friends. How, because, not simply because of scholarship, but because of his humility and his surrender, he had such realization and understanding and the capacity to speak those realizations and understandings of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how practically throughout the year he was giving talks. And how he was just so humble in each of his lectures. Radhe Shyam Prabhu was saying he would always emphasize not finding faults with other devotees. And he shared with me an analogy. That finding faults with devotees and speaking them to others is like picking up stool and throwing it in people's faces. Is that a nice thing to do? Even if there is a fault, when we're talking about it to others, we're actually throwing stool on people. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if you do two things, I'll take you back to Godhead. Chant the names of Krishna and do not criticize others. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told one Brahmin who was very blasphemous of Vaishnavas. He says, when you speak the faults of a devotee, you're drinking poison that will kill your true spiritual propensities. But when you speak the virtues of the Vaishnavas, you're drinking nectar. And only nectar could counteract poison. So stop finding faults and seek the good qualities. And Radhe Shyam Prabhu was telling, he simply never found faults with anyone, devotees. Like a good physician, he would speak the disease, point it out what it is and how to cure it. But no malice, no envy. And he was always cheerful. And I, from my own personal interactions with him, he just always wanted to take a humble position. Always wanted to appreciate others. In fact, I believe most nights of our yatra in Vrindavan, he was there. Even though he's such an incredibly learned scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam, he would just come to deeply take pleasure in hearing others. As Radhe Shyam Prabhu was describing him, I was remembering Prabhupada's analogy, that there's the book Bhagavatam and there's the person Bhagavatam. Just hearing about a devotee like this was non-different than a Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hearing about the qualities of a Vaishnava is Srimad Bhagavatam. He knew the Bhagavatam, he lived the Bhagavatam, he was the Bhagavatam, person Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada taught that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the person Bhagavatams, those who are actually who are living by these principles, Shushusho Shuddhadanasya Basudeva Katatuchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Viprapundya Tirutana Sevana. See, we can have taste for reading novels. We can have taste for watching television or cinemas. We can have taste for different kinds of material music. We can have taste for scriptures too. We can have taste for Srimad Bhagavatam too. But when we're speaking about ruchi, real taste, true taste, that taste for hearing a Bhagavatam, which is free of ego. I don't want to just learn so I can show people how much I know. I'm not trying to learn just to purify, or not purify, but just to somehow or other counteract all the bad things I do. Actually, ruchi. Shushushoshidadanasya Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. That taste is when we really are beginning to experience and develop that experience of receiving Krishna's mercy that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that comes by serving great personalities, by serving those who are living Srimad Bhagavatam or sincerely aspiring to live Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he began his kirtan, which is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, ultimately the culmination is the chanting of God's names, always remembering Krishna. He offered that beautiful prayer. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. To be the servant of the servant of the servant. To value the Vaishnavas. So as our dear Radhe Shyam Prabhu was describing, he's known Gaur Krishna Maharaj for many years. But it's this quality that so much affected him. His taste for the Srimad Bhagavatam, which was so inseparable from his honor and his respect for the devotees, for his compassion to other beings. He was 50 years old, I was told. And he was in Vrindavan. And he seemed just fine. And suddenly, Krishna took him away. Prahlad Maharaj taught us that we shouldn't wait till we get old, because we might already be old. Nobody knows when this Atma, our true self, is going to be removed. from this particular body and all the people and all the things associated with this body. It can happen to any of us at any moment. But we could always be safe by being in remembrance of Krishna. By living a life in which we are dear to Krishna. Trinadapi suniche natador ivasa hishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this as a prerequisite for higher realizations. Humility, tolerance, forgiveness, and compassion. Tolerating difficulties without complaint. Humbling oneself before God and before all others. Offering all respect and not demanding or expecting it for oneself. Another example that I was given of Gaur Krishna Maharaj today is he was telling Radhesham Prabhu that this particular new devotee has no respect for seniors. I'm the temple president, and he doesn't even bow down. What kind of etiquette is that? He's new and he doesn't bow down. And Gaur Krishna Maharaj said, that's a lack of etiquette. But far worse than that is you are expecting him to bow down. That's a serious disease. His disease is a small one, a little guidance can cure, but yours is a serious disease. You are expecting, demanding respect for yourself. What does it mean to be senior? Trinadapi sunichena. Gaur Krishna Maharaj was senior. He had that, those qualities. And therefore he could really nourish the hearts of others with those qualities. And at a time when absolutely no one in this world except Krishna expected for him to leave, he just was taken. In the holy land of Vrindavan, in the month of Kartik. So he is supremely fortunate. But we will miss him. Because whenever a sincere devotee is taken from this world, it's a great loss, not only for the devotional community, but for the whole planet. A sincere, humble, dedicated, compassionate devotee. Is so precious, such an empowered blessing within this age of Kali. Let us take a moment to offer our gratitude and our prayer. But Krishna has his way when he takes a wonderful Vaishnava from the world. In many ways, the effect of that helps us to really recognize and appreciate who they are, who and what they represent. Because life is short, and it may be shorter than we think. But any moment of pure devotional service, sincere attempt for pure devotional service, is eternal. Krishna tells in Gita, any progress we make on this path is forever. It's never lost. So in the little time we have here, where there's so much conflict and so much suffering and so much violence and so much hate and so much greed and so much lust and so much envy and so much arrogance all over the world, in the name of God, in the name of science, in the name of economics, as devotees, we don't have time to get distracted by petty little differences that we may have with each other. We don't have time to get distracted from our real purpose by this puna punas charavata charavananam, just chewing on the same old things we've chewed on for millions of births. Sense of urgency, sense of sincerity. That sense of urgency and sincerity makes us humble and makes us joyful. And makes us instrument of empowering others with spiritual joy. That's what Lord Chaitanya's teachings have given us. We are just this evening bringing a closing chapter to our 2015 Vrindavan Yatra. We were trying over the last couple weeks to make some comparisons of Krishna's Leela and Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Krishna lived in Vrindavan for just about 10.5 years. But because Kamsa was in Mathura, and there was Shishupal and Jarasandha and Salva and Dantavakra and all these other asuras who were plaguing the world, Krishna left his beautiful eternal home of Vrindavan to go out in a spirit of real compassion to the world by removing these demonic influences. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Navadvip Dham is non-different than Vrindavan Dham. Vrindavan is Madhurya Dham. In the spiritual world, the Vaikunthas are places of pure unalloyed devotion. But Vrindavan is all of that plus sweetness. The sweetness of Krishna standing, Krishna not carrying his weapons as the god of all gods, but Krishna standing in the threefold bending form, Tribhanga, not decorated with the most costly jewels, but with a Gunjamala, just simple little seeds that you could find almost anywhere in Vrindavan. And a Vajayanti Mala, a garland of wild flowers. And he's playing his flute to charm our hearts. And no one sees him as God. In Vrindavan, they see him as their lover, their friend, their child. They simply love Krishna. And when Garga Muni and others came and said that Krishna is actually God, whether he's God or not God, it doesn't mean anything to us. We just love him because he's Krishna. That is Madhurya Dham. And Krishna comes with the love of Sri Radha, the Mahabhav, to distribute her love to the world in Sri Navadvip Dham. It is Madhurya Dham plus Odarya Dham. All the sweetness of Vrindavan, but Navadvip and Lord Chaitanya's Leela is the magnanimity, the compassion to share the sweetness of Vrindavan with everyone and anyone, without concern for qualifications, disqualifications, nationality, race, social background, caste. All that's required is our sincerity, our willingness to humble ourselves and follow. And in this spirit, to take Lord Chaitanya, he left Navadvip for the same reason Krishna left Vrindavan. He took sannyas so that he could travel everywhere to show compassion, to remove demoniac influences, not with chakras, not with weapons. Lord Chaitanya killed the demoniac propensities in people's hearts with the holy names, especially this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And as the people of Vrindavan were immersed in the deepest ecstasies of love and separation when Krishna was delivering the burden of the demoniac influences in this world, similarly, Sachi Devi, Yashodamai, Vishnu Priya Devi, the residents of Navadvip were plunged in an ocean of that same type of separation. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India and traveling in bringing millions of people to come to Puri, removing that burden of ignorance with the Harinam Sankirtan movement. And he came to Vrindavan 500 years ago. On his way, he was giving ecstatic love, the perfection of yoga, the essence of all religions, to great scholars, to Brahmins like Sarvabhauma, to untouchables like Haridas, to deers and tigers and monkeys and insects and birds and trees and bushes. He was giving that same ecstatic love to everyone. And then he came to Vrindavan. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, a resident of Sri Radha Kund, he tells that when Lord Chaitanya, while living in Puri, even the remembrance of Vrindavan would increase his ecstatic love. And when he was on the pathways through Jharikhanda and other lands, knowing he was coming to Vrindavan, that ecstasy of love increased hundreds of times. When he came to Mathura, to the Vishram Ghat, that ecstasy of love increased 1,000 times. And when he was wandering through the 12 forests of Sri Vrajbhumi, that ecstatic love increased hundreds and thousands of times. After wandering through the 12 forests, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami only has a couple chapters, but he tells us that the 2 months that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were in Vrindavan, if Ananta Shesha, with his thousands of hoods, if Ananta Shesha were to write non-stop, even for the entire span of the universe in time, he could not even begin to explain the wonderful pastimes Lord Chaitanya did in one day while he was in Vrindavan. Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm only pointing in a direction for all of you. He lived at a Krura Ghat for some time. It was a secluded place. And in the early mornings, he would come to the bank of the Yamuna, to Dasvat Aditya Til. He would go to Keshi Ghat, to Chir Ghat, take his bath. And at Imlital, that ancient tamarind tree, which was standing from the time of Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit and chant the holy names throughout the morning, looking out at the beautiful river Yamuna into the beautiful forests of Sri Vrindavan. In the love of Sri Radha for Lord Krishna, his golden complexion would turn like that of a monsoon cloud. That was his absorption. After 2 months, because so many people were inviting Lord Chaitanya for prasad at their homes, the Brijavasis and the Brahmins and everyone. And Lord Chaitanya was going so deep into his ecstatic love that sometimes he would just fall in the river Yamuna and the devotees had to find him. So for the pleasure of his devotees, he was willing to leave. For his compassion for all living beings, also he left Vrindavan, as he left Navadvip. And what did he do when he left Vrindavan? It's quite beautiful. From Vrindavan, he went to Prayag. It was the month of January where the Magh Mela was happening. And on the banks of the rivers Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, for 10 days he instructed Rupa Goswami and empowered him. Lord Chaitanya later told the devotees, Rupa Goswami, although he had such knowledge, such intelligence, such influence, he was the most humble person. Completely surrendered. So I embraced Rupa Goswami at Prayag. And when I did so, I invested my own shakti, my own devotion, my own love within him. And I empowered him to reveal my teachings to the world. And he sent Rupa Goswami to Vrindavan. And then after his 2 months in Vrindavan from Prayag, Lord Chaitanya went to Varanasi. And there the leader of the Mayavadis, who considered bhakti to be nothing but sentimentalism, who considers Krishna's form, Krishna's name, Krishna's abode, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna himself, to ultimately be Maya, illusion. We will worship him. We will do puja for him. We will even say mantras of his names to become one beyond him. Lord Chaitanya would not want to hear these things. For a devotee, this philosophy breaks their hearts. Yes, Brahmiti Paramatmiti Bhagavan Iti Sabjate. The all-pervading Brahman, the impersonal aspect, the all-pervading light of the Absolute, is Krishna. But simultaneously, he's Paramatma. He's personally seated within the heart of every living being, and he is Bhagavan. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reciprocating loving relationships in the spiritual world forever. Hanuman doesn't want to become Ram. He wants to serve Ram forever, please Ram forever, love Ram forever. The gopis, the gopas, the idea of being Krishna or going beyond Krishna, just the concept of it breaks their hearts. They want to love Krishna and serve Krishna and give Krishna pleasure forever. Brahma himself has composed the verse, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Ishvara Parama. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. And his body, his name, his form, his personality are Sachit Ananda. They are eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So Prakashananda was very powerful. One of the greatest scholars of the world. But he believed Sri Chaitanya and all the bhaktas were sentimentalists. And that ultimately the concept of Krishna was just a temporary way of reaching Aham Brahmasmi, I am God. Aham Brahmasmi is true. We are all eternal spirit. We are all a part of God. After he left Vrindavan, of relishing the deepest ecstasies of being home
with his cows and his deers and his parrots and his peacocks and his Brijavasis and all the holy places. There he was in Varanasi, invited to be with Prakashananda Saraswati and 60,000 sannyasis. They were all sitting on a high platform, and he sat where they all washed their feet. They said, "Why are you sitting there? We invited you." He said, "I'm not fit to sit with you. You are such learned scholars, Vedanta." But he emanated his Brahmajyoti, and that really attracted their hearts. And his humility melted their hearts. Prakashananda came down and brought him up. And his heart was open because of Lord Chaitanya's humility and respect and beauty. And then he challenged Lord Chaitanya, "Why don't you come and study Vedanta with us?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Because I'm a fool. My guru told me I have no qualification. I'm a fool. Better I just chant Hare Krishna and teach others." And then they went on with their discussion. It's all recorded. And Lord Chaitanya explained Vedanta in such a systematic, comprehensive, deep way with its conclusion that prema was the highest revelation, personal love. And Prakashananda Saraswati surrendered, and all of his devotees surrendered. And they all went out into Varanasi together to chant the holy names. And at that time, Sanatan Goswami had just escaped from prison, and he was a fugitive, and he was in Varanasi by Krishna's arrangement. They were there at the same time. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the bank of Ganga, he instructed Sanatan Goswami for 2 months, every day, all day. Then sent him to Vrindavan to take those teachings and make them into literatures that could flood the world. And as Lord Chaitanya was returning to Puri from Vrindavan, I believe it was that time, in a place called Varaha Nagara. It's just near Calcutta. Lord Chaitanya heard a person reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased just by hearing a description of the pure love and devotion of the Srimad Bhagavat. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Go on reciting." And as he was hearing the words of this simple devotee, just reciting from the scripture, Lord Chaitanya went into ecstasy and was dancing and crying and exhibiting all the symptoms of love. For 9 hours. And he kept saying, "Go on reciting." And after the person finally ended, Lord Chaitanya said, "I give you the name Bhagavat Acharya." How many people have you seen in a Srimad Bhagavatam class being like that? That was Lord Chaitanya's taste for hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class, because it's not different from Krishna. And then
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left Vrindavan apparently, physically, out of compassion for all beings. And just as the devotees of Krishna lived in that union and separation in Vrindavan, when Krishna left, Lord Chaitanya's associates the same. So we have all come to Vrindavan. We're very small little people trying to be devotees. But these yatras are not just for the purpose of being here, for the purpose of enriching our hearts. Taking the lessons that we have heard while we're here, taking the grace of Shri Radha Krishna and all their eternal associates who are forever here, taking the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his eternal associates who are forever here, taking the grace of all the acharyas and the gurus and the Vrijabhasis throughout the ages who have loved Krishna here. This place is saturated with prema. Our beloved Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram Temple and wanted devotees to come here regularly to become spiritually revitalized, recharged. To stay in Vrindavan when we still have material desires is not as dear to the Lord as coming and bringing the spirit of Vrindavan into our heart of hearts and remembering that and living that wherever we are. And sharing that Vrindavan spirit with each other in the community of devotees. And as community, sharing it with the whole world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Varanasi, he said, "I'm a fruit vendor. And I have the fruits of ecstatic love for Krishna. But I have limitless fruits. And only two hands. How many can I give? I'm asking all my devotees, there is no better way than you can please me. Receive these fruits. Taste these fruits. Be transformed by these fruits. And according to your capacity, distribute these fruits." So as we leave Vrindavan, don't ever let Maya take Vrindavan out of your hearts. Keep Vrindavan in your heart. Live in separation from Vrindavan. Krishna never takes a step out of Vrindavan, and Krishna is none different than his name. When we chant the holy names with humility and devotion and faith, we are with Krishna. We are with Radha. We are in Vrindavan. So let us share this message with each other and with the world. 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan by taking Vrindavan in the core of his heart and transforming so many other people's hearts into Vrindavan on, except for Antarctica, every continent of the earth. And the vibration of the kirtans of the devotees definitely go to Antarctica also. So every continent on earth. Thank you very much.